Perfection is the enemy of the good. And so I think about that a lot. So, you know, I muddle along. I'm not a master at any one tool, but I muddle along as best as I can to make it as easy as I can. And when I've got the tools to make it even easier and to get better at something, I will. But in the meantime, I just get it done.
Do you love your business? You should, right? Well, sometimes we just don't. It's my hope that this, the My Daily Business Coach podcast, helps you regain a little of that lost love by providing tips and tactics, tools, insights, inspiration, all the good stuff to help you actually enjoy running your business. In addition to actionable tips and tactics that you'll be able to execute immediately, you'll also hear from creative small business owners around the world who've been able to sidestep the hustle and build a business that merges their passion with their purpose and provides a profit. I'm your host, Fiona Kalacki, founder of My Daily Business Coach. Let's get going. Hello and welcome to episode 134 of the My Daily Business Coach podcast. My name is Fiona Kalacki. I'm your host and I'm really excited about today's interview episode. It's with somebody I actually recorded the interview with months and months ago, and finally it's coming out. And I'm really, I just think this person's amazing. I've never actually met them in real life, but we have become friends over Instagram. And yeah, I just find them very inspiring, incredibly intelligent, and really curious, and the type of person that you just feel like you're instantly connected with. Like you just feel comfortable around them. You feel like curious, and their compassion for the world and just their interest in people just is contagious. So yeah, really excited to be bringing you today's episode. Before I get stuck in, I just want to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which I record this podcast, and that is the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And I pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging, and just acknowledge that sovereignty has never been ceded and that I am trying in my small way to work in a way that promotes equality for all. The other thing that I wanted to mention is if you are in lockdown, like many of us are, including myself, I know that it is particularly challenging. I know Melbourne is set to take over Buenos Aires soon as the city with the longest lockdown out of everyone around the entire world. And I just guess want to remind you of some places that you may be able to access help. So, of course, there's Beyond Blue, there's Lifeline 13, 11, 14, there is the Butterfly Foundation. And also, you may not be familiar with, but there is a line called Parent Line. So if you are particularly like a small business owner who is juggling your business alongside homeschool, perhaps daycare issues as well, or challenges with not having daycare or not having, you know, the babysitters or kind of other support networks that you have, there is a line from the government, Parent Line. So you can just look up Parent Line in your state and find the phone number for that or the email address or the website and get help that way. So don't be afraid to ask for help. These are incredibly challenging times. And actually, my guest today has also created a bunch of resources. So we will link to those in the show notes. And speaking of that guest, let's just get into it, shall we? So today I am talking to the fabulous Sally Branson-Dalwood. And Sally Branson-Dalwood runs multiple businesses. One which you may very well know is the Suite Set, so S-U-I-T-E, as in the birthing suite. And that is a brand that she founded a couple of years ago now, and it has just grown in popularity. I know lots and lots of people talk about it. Lots of people who don't even have kids yet or who are past that sort of stage in their parenthood follow Sally because she's just one of those people that, like I said before, just really contagiously curious and amazing and funny and real, and somebody that you feel like is a real kind of champion of women, parents, and people sort of challenged by everything really that's going on right now. But in addition to the Suite Set, Sally is also the director of Sally Branson Consulting and the co-founder at FOMO Alerts, which is an app. And we talk about what that is in today's episode. And I think sometimes it can be so, so interesting when you connect with people through their small business on a platform like Instagram, and you have this idea that, like, that's their business and that's what they do. And then when you uncover all these other parts to them, it's just, I find it absolutely fascinating. I love talking to people. I think everybody has so much to teach us. And my goodness, Sally Branson Dowlwood could teach us a lot about a lot of things. It is just so interesting to just talk with her in this episode today, or anytime really, about her career to date. It is absolutely fascinating. She has worked for the US government. She has worked for the Australian government. She has worked such high places, and she's looked after so many PR crises behind the scenes, huge things that will be all over the news. And you would not know that the brains behind it is Sally Branson Dowlwood, who is there getting, you know, all these different parts of the puzzle in place and creating a solution that's great for everyone. And that's something that we talk about a bit in this podcast. It's the idea of this sort of solutions mindset that Sally has. And she talks about how that's just part and parcel of her genetic makeup, that a lot of people in her family have that idea of, okay, let's look at a solution. Let's not keep talking about the problem over and over and over. Let's look at a solution. And maybe the solution is going to look a bit different to how we imagined initially, but we're going to find a solution. And I think it's because she has that just built into her. And I'm sure as well, she's quite humble about it, but I'm sure she's also had to keep cultivating that, especially with so many challenges that we've had. But I think because of that outlook on life and that approach, she is just a really positive person to be around. I think not positive, like toxic positivity, but just a realness about her. And she would be that person that if everything fell down around you, she'd be like, come on, we can do this. We can make this. You know, things are going to happen. It's going to be great again. And not in an annoying way, in a really compassionate way. And I think that comes through in all of her businesses, particularly in the Sweet Set. And like I mentioned, that is one of the businesses that she runs, and she founded that a couple of years ago. And I think she runs it closely with her partner as well. And she's also a mum to two young boys who she had 19 months apart. And she came up with the idea for the Sweet Set largely through her own experience of not being able to find something that would help and solve the kind of stress and the issues of what to pack when you're going in to have a child, and how to create your packing in a way that is not just going to be beneficial for the person, the woman having the child, but also for their partner, their family, anyone else that comes in to help in that environment. If you've ever been in it, it is a very stressful environment. Yes, it's beautiful as well, but it is stressful. People are going through things for the first time. You could have a new midwife in there. You might have a new doctor in there, hopefully not too new, but you know, you've got your partner in there, you've got family, maybe your parents are becoming grandparents for the first time. Maybe you don't have a partner. Maybe you're doing this by yourself. You've got your best friend. Your best friend's like, oh my God, I don't know how to do this. You yourself, as the person who's had the baby, is going through so many hormonal changes. And what Sally has created with the Sweet Set is a product that looks simple from the outset. It looks like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But actually when it's used, it can just create calmness. It can create a sense of order in a very much chaotic thing that's happening. And that is childbirth. That is, it is chaotic. You don't really know what you're doing from one step to the next. And what she's created with the Sweet Set, and she talks about what the products are and how she came up with them, is a way to have a little bit of order, a little bit of structure, a little bit of calmness in what can be a very, very overwhelming, stressful situation for a lot of people. As much as it is beautiful, it is also, you are like plummeting into this new territory that you've never been in before, and suddenly you're responsible for this tiny little person. And yeah, I think anything that anyone can do to make that experience just that bit easier, oh, is welcome in my books. And that's exactly what the Sweet Set do. But in addition to that, like I said, Sally does run other businesses, and she's just an incredible mind. She's a whiz with words. She He's just, again, one of those people you'd want in your corner if anything went wrong and if anything went right, because I feel like she would just as well, you know, celebrate all the good stuff as well as walk you through solutions when things are tough. So as many of us are in lockdown, I thought this was a perfect opportunity to share this episode. And if you are somebody who is struggling or challenged in any way, and all of us are, every single parent out there is challenged in some way, even if they look perfect on Instagram, definitely check out the Sweet Set, because even if you're not necessarily in the market for the products that she's selling, Sally also offers so many tips, ideas, and tactics, resources for parents. And, you know, the community that surrounds parents as well. And you can do that by following The Sweet Set, which is at The Sweet Set, one word, and it's S-U-I-T-E, set. And you can also check out a bunch of resources over at thesweetset.com. And what you'll do there is find them under journal. And that will go through everything from how to bring calm in uncertain times, through to, you know, homemade goodies that you can create for your kids, through to information about, you know, pregnancy and COVID-19 and lots of other really, really great resources for parents and parents-to-be and the community of people that surround parents as well. But that is enough of an intro from me. I'm excited to share my interview with Sally. And as I said before, this was recorded many months ago now. So if we are talking about things and it doesn't sound like we're in lockdown, just know it was recorded before the latest round of lockdowns in New South Wales and Victoria. And just before we jump in, just a little, I guess, disclaimer, we did have a few internet issues with this particular recording. So just bear with it if it goes in and out at stages. Our incredible editor, Scott from SoundMind Editing, has done his best. But yes, some of the audio isn't as perfect as we would like it to be. But in this day and age, some technical issues happened. And yeah, we hope that you forgive us because the content is really good. Thank you again, Sally, for coming on here and sharing your wisdom. And yeah, I'd love to introduce you, if you don't know her already, to Sally Branson Dalwood, the founder of The Sweet Set, the director of Sally Branson Consulting and co-founder at FOMO Alerts. Welcome to the podcast, Sally. I'm so excited about talking to you today.
Oh, Fiona, I'm the one who's excited. You're my business mentor, Instagram crush, podcast course leader. So I'm the one who's super excited, but thank you so much for having me on my favorite podcast.
Oh, you are so, so welcome. So how are you feeling about life right now?
Well, Fiona, I'm a genetic optimist, so it's inbuilt in me. My grandmother was an optimist, my mum. So that's my makeup, that's my DNA, and my lessons in life throughout my career and throughout my business have been that there's always a solution. So it's a good family outlook to have, that there's always solutions, and it's a good business outlook to have as well, that there's always a way forward. The way forward might not look the way we thought it would look, but there is always one step in front of the other. So naturally, I'm an optimist, so I'm always feeling pretty good about life. The other thing I do, Fiona, is every single day I set my intentions about how I want to feel during the day. I don't take a long time to do that. It's a practice that I have, as the word suggests, practice. So my take is all about how my mindset is moving forward.
Oh, I love that. My dad was an optimist, and it's a really great thing to have in your family, somebody who's constantly like, let's find a solution. Let's not keep talking about the problem, which is an amazing way to run a business as well. So good on you. I would love to be more of an optimist. I am somewhat, but definitely not at your level.
No, I think there's definitely, and that doesn't mean to say I don't have days where things aren't as golden and rosy and glowy as they can be. It's active work to be glowy and to be optimist as well, even when it is makeup. So for me, on a business podcast like yours, Fiona, writing down intentions and trying to be optimistic and solutions-based is actually a business practice and something that it's important to think about each day.
For sure. So that leads on perfectly to my next question, because all of your businesses seem to be very much solutions-based. Focused. And so can you talk about kind of the businesses that you have? People would have heard me in the intro talk about the Sweet Set. But yeah, I'd love to know, I guess with the Sweet Set, what is it, why and when did you start it? And then what are the other things that you run?
Of course, Fiona. We're really clear on our business values and they're about service and solutions. And also, at the risk of sounding cheesy, love as well. That's our highest value and we try and bring that to the Sweet Set and the other businesses that I'm involved in. So first is the Sweet Set, and the Sweet Set is a pack of organisational bags for when parents are going into hospital to become parents and have a baby. They come with a two-page instruction sheet, which is really the key focus of the Sweet Sets, because I suppose anyone can manufacture plastic bags, and we have recently seen a few copycats in the market. But the key to the Sweet Set is that our mission is to end the overwhelm for parents, not just first-time parents, but also one of my best customers is a lady who over the 2 years of the Sweet Set has actually had two children to add to her existing four. She's a parent of six boys, and she said the Sweet Set was one of the most important things in her preparation because it involved very little thinking and mental energy because I'd done all the work for her. So it's a pack of 10 bags. It's the two-page instruction list, and it details everything you do and don't need to take to hospital when you're having a baby, whether it is your first or your sixth baby. And it's also, we do single births, we do multiple births, and we're now working on, we're almost ready to launch our births for parents who have suffered stillbirth, who are going into a baby, to hospital to deliver a baby that won't be born alive or we will not be coming home with them. So that's our focus at the moment. And we have spent almost 4 years in research and development. We've done formal market research. We've done focus groups. We've also consulted with obstetricians, midwives, doulas, and importantly, parents who've been there, done that. So our information is really robust and we've put rigor into our research. So that really sets the Sweet Set apart. So that's that business. I started it because I was an older mother. I was 38 when I had Magnus and 40 when I had Fenton. And my background is in research, communications, message delivery, and knowing every detail. I went overboard researching before the boys were born, Magnus particularly, and I felt so much pressure on myself to get it right immediately. Like, I wanted to have the best prepared baby nursery, not in aesthetics, but in actual logistics. I wanted to have, and like rolling my eyes now after having two children in 19 months, no one can really be prepared and no one can really tell you what to do, but we consider ourselves a bit of a map on the journey. And let's be honest, our hospital birth suite and our birth room was a hot mess. Like, there was just crap everywhere and I wasn't prepared for what a small space it was, and I wasn't prepared for things like when my milk was coming in and how many times I needed to change breast pads or bras, and saying to my husband at 2 a.m. in the morning, I need some black knickers, can you find them? They're in that bag. And then, you know, I was saying, I need a baby zip up. I need a zippy wonder suit. And, you know, my husband bringing me something else that wasn't that. And I really felt that there needed to be a better way. And it was really with that mission of ending the overwhelm. And I always laugh, you know, I had a really dear friend who had a baby and had forgotten to pack a few things and sent her partner home and said, I really need you to get me a button up top for breastfeeding. Something that buttons, and her partner came back with a divine Zimmerman top with a high collar and tiny covered buttons and roulette loop buttons all the way down it because it was button up. So this just takes away those communication issues. Some of the feedback, or most of the feedback we have, is midwives love them, but also partners and support crew really love them because it takes pressure off them as well. And a lot of people do like to be organised, and there's a lot of A-typers among us who like to have a neat and tidy space and feel comfortable that they're really organised. So that's a Sweet Set, and that's why we started it. We started it after the birth of our first child, Magnus. So 19 months later, we had Fenton, and by the time we had Fenton, we had some prototypes made. And then the business was launched in Fenton's first year. in earnest, and the research began in earnest. And then we launched coming up to 2 years. At the end of August, it will be 2 years.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. And we've just sold our 700th sweet set. So that means there are 700 families we have helped lessen the overwhelm with.
Oh, my God. I love that story. And I love as well that you've taken the time to look into, you know, stillbirths and other people that will need it, but that I feel like are not really always looked at from a lot of companies in that space.
Exactly. We're also looking at surrogacy as well, because more and more Australian families are seeking surrogate options to become parents. So we just want to help as many people we can with the resources and the product that we've got.
Oh, amazing. I love that. And I love that it came from a real need as well. And I was there with you when we had our first. Oh, my God, it was just a debacle. I don't even think half of the stuff, well, probably three quarters of the bag did not come out at any point. And then with the second one, I was the same. I was like, oh, where are these? And we had Levi in the hospital room as well. So it was just like chaotic.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like every small thing then is like, you know, you're tired, you're not sleeping, depending on what you're doing about feeding.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but it's layer upon layer, isn't it? And
yeah.
No one can really prepare you for that. But if you've got something that you know you can trust, that's rigorous, it's researched, it's robust, all those lovely R words, like your P words of your book, if you've got something like that, at least you've got a good base. No one can prepare you for the physical change or the hormonal change or the absolute rapid mental change that goes on when you give birth to a child or have a child. But at least if you've got a base that you feel comfortable with, that gives you a little bit more confidence.
For sure. And, yeah, I'm sure the whole community, like you mentioned, around you. And so given that you're in that space and working, you know, and we'll get to the other businesses in a second as well, but what happened then in COVID, like during, I mean, we're still living life with COVID, but how did 2020 impact the sweet set, especially because it's a new business? And also how did it impact your life? Because you had some pretty major changes last year.
We did have some major changes. So I am, again, solutions-based, and that's been my professional career. And I'm not going to use the word pivot, because we didn't really pivot. We just ramped up our commitment to service. So the sweet set is run from home. It's run from our kitchen table. It truly is. It's run from our home. It ran from a spare bedroom. Our stock is all in a spare bedroom. So when COVID first came out, we were really clear on sharing with our community our procedures around COVID and safety, which I know a lot of people were. And one thing in manufacturing and in plastics particularly, because the bags are made from plastic, is that ours were Australian made. So we didn't have that hurdle of supply or unfortunate issues around provenance of product. But we really honed in on our mission of serving. So we immediately reduced our postage to make the product more accessible. We immediately started sharing on stories. It actually was a catalyst for the direction of how our company's gone. We did market research from before we even manufactured and then after we'd manufactured. So we've got a strong base of what our direction is because we've got that really rigorous market research. But when COVID hit, my message was just how, and Jonathan and I talked about this a lot, how could we serve? So we really realised that, you know, the product was there. We had it all there. We weren't going to change the product in any way, but we could really focus on our messaging around where can we give the best information. And with my background, which I think we can talk about more, but my background is around sharing messages and distilling communications and making complicated messaging easier. And so in those first days, as I said, we made sure all of our communications, all our subscribers had information about how and where our stock came from and where it was stored, our own safety procedures in our home. We got into that really quickly because it is a home-based business. But then it was all about the information. So we did that discounted shopping. We did a discount for the product for people in lockdown, and which we continue to do. We also then did something that actually came quite naturally to me, and that was share information. So I wrote my first online course and it was a free course, but Jonathan just took over all the parenting and I just sat down for the first 4 days, almost 24 hours a day, and wrote everything I knew about how to manage information, how to get calm. And the course is called Peace Be With You. And it was about saying that there are some things in our life we can't control, particularly when we're pregnant and in a time of a pandemic, but there are some things that we can control. So in that course, we talked about how to make sure you're staying connected with your community and with your family and friends, making sure your support network was really strong. Even really simple things like, and this was in the beginning before everyone was used to Zoom 24/7, how to have a good Zoom conversation, how to set up a laptop, you know, so that it's the best lighting. So not only can you connect with your family and support network, but you can have a really good telehealth appointment. One of the emails in the 14-day course outline, and this was all free, was how to have a good telehealth appointment, how to get the most out of it, how to pre-prepare for a telehealth appointment. And for all of this, I just worked my contacts. I got into everyone I knew in these spaces and asked them for their advice. One of them was even, as some people would say, is frivolous, as I contacted an interior designer and asked her about how to make a sanctuary in your home where there's one place that you feel safe. And in that same email, I contacted the health professional to talk about how to best germ-proof your house as possible. You know, that was things like, you know, making sure you wash your floors down, you mop regularly, things like that, and clean surfaces, and how to do that in a safe way when you've got children in the home. So that even came down to an email about how to regulate your news and where the best place is to get information. We also straight away started a fluid and ongoing blog post around where the very best place to get information was from, because in situations, and we're all aware at the start of a pandemic and actually ongoing throughout a pandemic, that sometimes people don't get their information from robust sources. So as much as I love an Instagram influencer, sometimes that isn't the best place to get your health, well-being, or your government regulation information from. So we had a fluid page that I updated in the morning and at night about the very best places to get robust information and fact-checked information from. So we had that going, all of those things going along, and even things like in my stories, I explained what flattening the curve meant. And all of these words that were being used in media but weren't ever really explained. So that's how we really ramped up the service of our business there.
Wow, that is massive. And you've just given so many great insights for people who are struggling with content, because I feel like what you've done is just really, and I work with lots of people on their content plans, but quite often people can get fixated in just talking about the actual products, you know, for you talking about, and this bag does this and this does this. And I love that you just have looked at the holistic, you know, audience, what do they need right now? So thank you for sharing that. And then in terms of, and I'm imagining that that would have been a chunk of work as well for you. So thank you again on behalf of everyone. But also you guys moved.
We did. Oh, I completely forgot about that, Fiona. No. So my husband, Jonathan, had a family business that had been going for 15 years and a significant family business in wholesale catering, and catered to really big names and on a really big scale. But all of those big names on that really big scale, no one needed cake within 48 hours of lockdown. It was a cake factory. No one needed party catering or corporate event catering. And so my husband took the decision that he couldn't beat a pandemic in his business, and he would close that business down after 15 years.
Oh.
And that had with it a lot of stress and obviously a lot of financial stress and family worry. But with the mindset and the active mindset, and I can't say it was easy every day, but with the active mindset that, right, let's find our next solution, what do we want our life to look like as a family and in the work that we do? You know, and I even way back, do I go back to my old career with, you know, good pay and regular paycheck, but 15, 16 hour days and away from our family. Do I do that? Or so they're all of that weighing up, but we just got really clear and tried to act not in a place of fear, but from a place of moving forward. What did we want to do? Although I'm never going to be one of those people who say, oh, but COVID, you know, was a real opportunity for our family, because, you know, with hundreds of people who have lost their life and with ongoing illness and so many businesses in such a sorry, sorry state, I'm never going to say that there was silver linings, but it did give our family the opportunity to reflect on where we come from and where we wanted to be. So my husband retrained online, and interesting talking about business personalities, he is naturally an extrovert, and he cold called and he rang and he emailed people all over Australia, and he retrained with his original love, which was cricket coaching and cricketing. And he has upskilled and got his accreditation and his Cricket Australia accreditation, and he decided he wanted to be a professional sports coach. And so we moved to Queensland the day the borders opened on December 1st. We packed up all the sweet sets. That in itself was a logistical issue of how do we keep an online business running when we're leaving our home and where our business is. We left mid-November because we wanted to try and move to Queensland as soon as we could. So we packed up the kids in the car, emptied the house, sold almost everything, and drove through New South Wales for 2 weeks until the border opened, and also kept the sweet set going. So a part of the little hire, we sold our car, so part of the hire car was packed with sweet sets so that we could, and obviously the different variations, the multiple birth and the instructions, and we also sell a bit of product as well. So we had one part of the car packed with, you know, soft toys and jigsaw puzzles and clothes, and then the rest with the sweet set stuff. And, you know, I'd sit in the front seat, we'd swap the driving around, and one of us would be on the laptop working away while we negotiated our way through New South Wales to cross the border on December the 1st and start our new sweet set headquarters in Queensland.
Oh, my goodness. And I love that you just relay all of that information like so matter of fact. Whereas it sounds, I mean, just in general, going on a car trip that long with young children would be really challenging for a lot of people, let alone add on top of that, we're actually moving, add on top of that, all the stress that comes with it and a pandemic, and then also trying to run a business. Well done. That's just incredible.
I appreciate that.
Oh, no, it's huge. And so we have sort of touched on this, but one thing that people may not know about you, depending on, you know, if they've just sort of followed the sweet set and not necessarily know for sure all of your career background, but you didn't start out in small business, and you've sort of hinted at that in this discussion. So you have been in a, you know, very different type of business to the sweet set, which is media and politics and crisis communication. Can you talk us through your career history? Because I know when we first started chatting and we were chatting about the sweet set, and then you were like, oh, but I've done this and this and this and this. And I was like, oh my goodness. I just think it's incredible what you do. And I love hearing you on 774, which is, you know, ABC radio. Like, you've just got this huge breadth of knowledge and experience. And yeah, I'd love you to kind of walk through that.
You know, that is very kind, particularly coming from you with your career history. I really appreciate it. My background's in politics and community development. So I did my postgrad in rural and regional development, and I did my undergrad in politics and sociology. And I worked in politics for almost 20 years. And part of that, not just in politics, I also worked in diplomatic relations. I worked for a foreign government. I worked for the US government for almost a decade. And I was their media affairs specialist, and I was their defence media specialist. So my background includes catapulting off aircraft carriers and climbing down a rope ladder into the Pacific Ocean off a warship. And I was on a tarmac for 2 weeks in a helicopter as my office. Obviously, I didn't sleep and eat there, but I had to work on site. So for 2 weeks, my office space was the back of one of the most technologically advanced helicopters in the world. So
moving to Queensland was like nothing for you.
No, well, it was. Actually, I have to say, Fiona, having the responsibilities of my own business, of our own business, but also the emotional responsibilities of having a 4 and a 2-year-old during that move, I have to say, given me, actually, I find the catapulting off the aircraft carrier, probably a little bit of an easier experience to navigate there, let's be frank. But I have a real, I grew up with not only that lovely optimism, but also our family's core. We had a very strong work ethic drilled into us that was paramount, but also a work ethic for service. So I grew up in a very tiny community of 120 people that, you know, I still think is the centre of the universe. And I grew up from my mother and my grandmother really instilling in me that the work that you had to do was service-based. So I worked in politics. I've been really committed to women in politics and making politics a more female-friendly space and a more diverse space. I've actually worked on the conservative side of politics, which some people, I know after I left the diplomatic work where you have to be completely apolitical, people were like, oh, my God, what are you doing going on working for a conservative prime minister? But people get quite a shock because I'm quite socially liberal and progressive, but also I have an economic conservative mindset and a very business and a small business based mindset. I then, after my embassy work, I went and worked for a prime minister, and then I moved into a minister's office around, funnily enough, small business and focusing on female entrepreneurship and enterprise, which was quite interesting because it was in the lead up to the small business budget, and that was my project. So I started setting up roundtables on behalf of the minister, setting up meetings, all with women who had started small business, female venture capitalists, women who had left the workplace because they couldn't make the workplace fit for them and started small business. Me, from my salaried advisory position, would be like, look at these amazing women, but I am never going to do anything like that because I'm going to have kids and then come straight back into my workplace. And the beauty and irony of hindsight is that I couldn't make it work. After 20 years of trying to make politics work for people, women and people with young children, I couldn't make that work for myself. And when I actually left politics, I was a state director of the National Party in Victoria. I was pregnant at that time and I went on maternity leave. I went back after maternity leave part-time, and I just recognised that in an election year, I had to change my priorities from working hard on an election campaign 24 hours a day to being a really present mum. And that's really where the sweet set was born.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. You are just, like, fascinating in every sense of the word. I just think it's amazing what you've done, and so much knowledge and experience. And I know you're really big on market research, you know, but also just this incredible research that you'd have before from the 20 years working in politics.
Mm. I think it's important to also acknowledge that the sweet set for us was something because I saw the idea. I was really inspired by these women I had met in my time in politics. But also I had such a battle with my ego and my sense of identity, because my identity was all about being, you know, having power behind the scenes and being involved in really influential decisions making at a really high level. And then I had a baby, I became a mum, and I couldn't make that work anymore. It was not only, people talk about, you know, how rapidly your identity changes when you become a parent, but for me as well, it was my professional identity too, and a real sense of shame that I couldn't make what I'd made for other people work for myself. So I really had to overcome that ego piece as well around what my life would look like, and also what I wanted it to look like and how I wanted it to feel. And for us, the best option was me focusing on building the sweet set around that, because I get all of those good juicy things now too. I get some relevance from helping people and serving people, but also I'm involved in seeing these beautiful newborns and having gorgeous conversations with really special, our, you know, I'm loath to say customers because I feel it's so transactional, because I DM and I message and I'm online with so many of our customers. I feel like it's a really, there's nothing more personal than going into somebody's birth suite with your product. So I'm really lucky that my business has, when I had a reassessment of what I wanted to feel and got really clear on that and really clear on my ego, that I feel really blessed now with where my career path has gone. I might not be catapulting off aircraft carriers, but let's be frank, do I want to be doing that, or do I want to be, you know, well, this morning was putting my kids in front of the TV while I got some work done, but you know how it goes.
Yes, and thank you for sharing that. And can I ask if it's not too personal, because there might be someone listening who's in that exact position. And I know that when I left MIMCO and I was head of marketing at MIMCO, which is hardly, you know, a glimpse on what you were doing for the country.
But it is. It's all relative.
Yeah, and I still remember like going into meetings and being like, I have no big brand. I can't say, oh, I'm from Amazon or I'm from The Age or I'm from MIMCO. Yes. It's like, It's just me from Fiona Clarke.
Hi. Wave emoji.
How did you work through that to the point where you were able to accept it? Was it like reading some books? Was it getting therapy? Was it conversations with your partner? Like, how did you kind of work through that identity of who am I without this big job?
It was a lot of self-reflection and a lot of work. I was actually joking with a client yesterday for my crisis business, actually, about how the work is ongoing. You know, that's the bad thing about work. It never stops. You do the work and there's more work to do, which is a good analogy for life as a whole. But I did some meditating, as I said, every day. I have a journal and every day in it I write what my intentions for the day are, and I focus on how I want to feel rather than what I want to achieve. And then so that's in one column, and the next column I write around, so what gets me to that feeling? Is it, you know, I'm being really realistic, and as many of your listeners would be aware, when you've got young children, and particularly as our business started in the newborn phase, literal and you know, metaphorical newborn stage, is that I had, you know, a 19-month-old and a newborn, that there is sometimes only so much you can achieve in a day and be really realistic around what my accomplishments in a day that can be done, and that also that everything has value. It doesn't matter on what scale you're doing it. Everything we do every day as a human and in a small business and as a parent has value, and it's about recognizing the value in it, all of those actions. And even if they're the tiny little things that make up the big day, everything's got a value proposition.
Yes, I love that. And so you do, obviously you do the Sweet Set, and you also run at Sally Branson Consulting, and you've got another cool app that you're a co-founder of. Mm. Can you talk us through those other two businesses sort of briefly, but then really, how do you divide your time between them? And I know you're also really passionate about people having more than one business and, you know, not feeling like they have to put everything into the one thing.
100%. So that's right. I am co-founder of a tech startup called FOMO, and we have developed a platform and an app about media alerts and about getting real-time media alerts that send you straight to the source of media. So, for example, Fiona, when you're a guest on a podcast, if you were using the app, you would be a guest on someone else's podcast, which I know you are regularly. And so you insert that into your, it's just like sending a text message in an app, and you have followers. So say, for example, everyone on your EDM list, you've sent them an email and said, I'm using this app. If you want to follow, you'll get a real-time media alert when my next podcast is released, or when I'm doing an interview on ABC, or whatever media or, you know, public presence you're doing. And then your community follows you on this app. And then every time you do something live or every time something goes live, they get a real-time push notification, like a text message. They can push on that link and it will take them straight to the source. So you say it's Thursday and your podcast is going live, your followers will get a real-time alert. And the key for us is, I know there's a lot of ways that people communicate this, the key for us is there's nothing else on the market that is real-time, and there's nothing else that takes you straight to the source in real-time. For me, the motivation of being involved in this podcast was that I wanted to create my target market initially when I first started talking about it with my two co-founders, Dave and Rob Reith, who are extraordinary and such a delight to work with, was that I wanted to create greater access to democracy processes. So if I wanted to know where my local member of parliament was doing a media interview on a local issue to me, I didn't have to contact their office because I'm not privy to their media alerts as a constituent. I don't get an email from the office, you know, ministers' office usually send out to their stakeholders or the press gallery when ministers or MPs or the Prime Minister is doing a media event. But as Joe Public or Josephine Public, we're not privy to that sort of alert, and so that was the basis for FOMO alerts. So that's one business and one that I'm really proud of because, again, it's about service and about access. The other thing that I do is Sally Brands Consulting, and that's something that I actually started, funnily enough, when I was about 24 and after I'd done my postgrad, and I realised there was a lot of rural-based community and not-for-profit organisations who had no access to or didn't know the pathway to develop relationships with local government, the three tiers of government and funding channels and developing relationships. So I did that for about 2 years in my early 20s, and I look back, oh my goodness, I was in my early 20s. I was living with my brother. I didn't have a car. I was living in Outback, New South Wales, and I just used to borrow my brother's Land Cruiser with his spotlight on the front and just, you know, drive 300 k's for a meeting or drive to the Queensland border and have a meeting with the local government and then fang on home. And then if I had a meeting in Melbourne, I'd stay on my friend Janie's, in her studio apartment, on my friend Janie's couch, and I would work from her kitchen table. And we still joke to this day that a school, a private girls' school, got in contact with me and said, oh, we hear that you're doing this work. Can you take a work experience student? And I was like, oh, my God, where in Janie's studio on her kitchen bench will the work experience student actually sit? So Sally Branson Consulting started then. And obviously when I was working in politics and working for the embassy, I couldn't do that work. And then I've always done a bit of mentoring around women in politics and small business. And when COVID hit, I had some people from my past contact me and say, we have an issue, I need you to think about this, can you give me a pathway forward? And so last year while I was doing the sweet set, and when Jonathan, not being in the cake factory, had time to really focus on doing the majority of the parenting, I could take on more and more of that work. And so it's really been the last, throughout the pandemic, that I've refocused on the consulting. So one of my skills, and we would talk, I know we've been talking about this offline, Fiona, is that in Australia we find it very hard to talk about our skills, but one of my skills is that I'm able to find a path forward. I'm able to see ways onward, external from an organisation, that an organisation deep in the roots of it can't see the path forward. So Sally Brands Consulting is about crisis management, reputation management, but I like to call it special situation management, because the reality in any SME or large organisation or not-for-profit, every single day there's challenges, and every single day one issue could turn into a really big issue. So ideally I work proactively with clients to come up with strategies around if an issue took place or if an issue happened or if there was a worst case scenario, what is their path forward and what is their outcome? And as I said earlier, there is always a way forward. It might not look the way you'd love it to look or thought it would look, but there will always be a way forward. So I really enjoy that work. Like, that work really gives me some great juice as well. Like, I really love the work because I love to serve, and they're my values, service, contribution. So that is, they're the three things I've got on. We've also got, as I said, a four-year-old and a just-turned three-year-old. We've got 1 day of daycare and a five-day fortnight of kinder, preschool. So I'm at home with the boys. So the way we manage that is we really, every week, work hard on designing how we want the week to look. So if Jonathan is coaching, Jonathan tries to coach of an afternoon so I can work in the morning. And it really is about those things like getting up early and doing a few hours work in the morning, or I don't like to use the word juggle. It's about just being that organised. And I have to say, and I have to admit, Fiona, that in the last few months, for the first time, we've used a digital diary because we can't just rely on the piece of paper on the fridge anymore, because it is really a negotiation around time. But we manage, and the way that we manage, and I think we do it quite well, is that we equally parent and really do divide our days to fit into each other's work. And that's one of the beauties of having our own business, that, you know, I went to bed at 9:30 last night in my PJs and I could hear Jonathan downstairs packing sweet sets. So again, that might not be everybody's ideal scenario for how they want their day to work. But for us, that's how we want to be able to, one of us be with the boys the majority of the time. And I'm sure our businesses would grow and scale if that wasn't a priority. But right at this stage in our life, that is a really high priority for us. So we've got into digital calendars. I toggle my time. I use an app where I toggle my time for each of my work, so I get a really good understanding where my time is going. And it really is just, you know, being clear on how our week is going to work, but also being agile enough because things happen. And I know our podcast has been put back because, you know, Jonathan had to go and look after 40 kids on a football field, and I had the two boys at home and didn't have anywhere to send them. So I can't say it's perfect, Fiona, but we make it work, and it's the way we want to live our life at the moment.
Yeah, I'm all for digital calendars. We have whiteboards everywhere in our house and in our kitchen, and I'm always like, okay, check the whiteboard.
Check the whiteboard and Trello. Trello has just really changed my life, and that's something else I have learned from you, Fiona, so thank you.
You're so welcome. So obviously, and you know, it's just very apparent the way you speak and everything else, you've got this really strong background with media and communications and talking to strangers and all of that kind of thing. And I think obviously that's part of why you're so great on social media. And if people aren't following, check out The Sweet Set, and we'll link to that in the show notes. But you have this long history, and I've also heard you on 774 with Raph Epstein, who's like a guru in our house. But you are someone who can, you know, lead teams and talk to anyone and everyone. For people listening who have small businesses and haven't got that background that you have with media and public relations and communications, are there any tips that you could provide for them getting themselves out a bit more, whether it's pitching to the media or if it's just doing, you know, an Instagram story where they actually show their face?
Can I just say, Fiona, they say, what is it, a plumber's house always has bad plumbing and a builder's roof always needs to be fixed. I've done no formal PR for our business, our Sweet Set. It's on my to-do list. And isn't it funny, I've got a real block on that. So I just want to be really transparent there because that's also a value of mine. You know, I'm really transparent that we're not perfect all the time and some days are harder than others, but we just, you know, accept it and move on. I haven't got the formula right, but I will say, Fiona, that we are really clear on our values as a business. And so our value as a business and as a family, I know people talk about balance and work-life balance, and we're realistic that with a small business, everything bleeds into one and leaks into one, and it's really hard to set boundaries and draw boundaries. And you know what? Sometimes that's not bad as long as you're looking after your own well-being and your family's well-being. I think it's important to know that we have a values-based business in The Sweet Set and our others as well, but it's a values-based business. So every decision I make around what I say on Instagram and how I interact with my customers and if I ever do a sale or if I ever engage an Instagrammer or influencer or do a baby expo, it's always comes back to what end am I doing it? Does it fit in to my values? So my real advice is, I'm going to be really honest here, this is based on our market research. So as I said before, we invested in, first I did my own market research on SurveyMonkey. I knew it was good, but I knew it wasn't good enough. And that was before I had the product manufactured. After I had a product, I worked with a formal research group out of Melbourne, and they did case studies, focus groups here, New Zealand and the US for us. And the information we got from that market research has created the bedrock for all of the work that we do. So, 2 points to note. A, we've got so much work to do. We've got so many big plans for The Sweet Set. But as I said, we still want to be really present with our boys. So the business perhaps isn't growing as fast as we want it to or we would ideally like it to, but that's because we've got two fitted in. And the business did start just in nap times, you know, in that magic time when you've got two kids close in age and they both nap at the same 2 hours during the day. That is where The Sweet Set started. So this isn't really answering the question. The question is around social media and my advice. Back to values-based marketing, I'm really genuine with my message. I never say or do anything on social media that doesn't fit in with those values. My own personal Twitter account might be a different story, but again, values-based. But while respecting everyone else who's on Instagram, I need to say I'm so super clear on my boundaries about what I will and will not share around our family as well. So I do save my children's names and their faces are in my photos, which is a little bit ironic because when they were born, I never showed their faces anywhere and never, ever showed them on social media. And then now it's our family's income. I'm like, okay, boys, stand in front of the camera, which, you know, I'm obviously joking about, but our market research said very clearly what our target demographic want to see from someone selling a product like ours, and that is very genuine and personal experience as well as robust information. So I'm really genuine with my message. My boundaries involve that the boys will never be naked online, but also, you know, I've moved from no one's ever going to see their face to, oh my God, they're not naked. Thank God they're not naked. But really, Fiona, there's no, you know, no dissing my husband or rolling my eyes on Instagram about my husband or my kids, never talking about anything that they could see as shameful or as embarrassing. So I'm really clear on that. So they're my tips. I just would say to anybody to get really clear on what your values are before you get on a space like that. And again, I want to come back to market research. So before I would invest in anything around branding, around, you know, wholesaling, around, you know, what my stories are going to be and what reels I'm going to do, I always would go back to that market research. That's the best investment we made in starting a business. And that market research also said very clearly that we had to be a face of the sweet set. The brand had to be about our family and about our experiences as a family. Now, it may come as a surprise, Fiona, but I feel really uncomfortable in front of IG stories and really...
You look so comfortable.
Oh, thank you. Well, part of it is that I have grown into the fact that I get such lovely feedback of appreciation from new mums and mums who are in that deep, dark trenches, newborn phase or preparing for pregnancy. So that's really spurred me on, but it took a lot for me to get there. It took even more for Jonathan, for our family to get there. So that's something I actually have to work on every day, actively get in front of social media. We also do EDMs and I'm really clear. My EDMs are very personal. Again, there's some information that I'll never share, but the EDMs are very personal about our family journey, what we're doing, why we're doing it, what we're doing with our business, what our ambitions are. And I actually sent an email out last week, Fiona, and I put it on LinkedIn as well, really clearly being really honest about what our ambitions are for the sweet set. So a lot of people would roll their eyes and say, why would you give that information away to competitors? But I want to take people in our business growth journey. A lot of our followers are interested in small business and there are a lot of women who, you know, go on maternity leave and realise that their old life didn't work for them. So they're interested in how to start a business, which you know better than anyone. And so in this EDM last week, I said that, you know, in the next month we'll launch a podcast. We're working on a journal tool for parents around setting their intentions for the day, a really simple tool to get clear on how to work through tough times as a parent, the stillborn option, the surrogacy option. I also said, you know, we're looking to scale and grow our business. We'll do more market research. These are our targets because I want people to be on the journey because that's my value around what our business is and collaboration and sharing and being really transparent. So that actually for me has to come across every element of our business.
Oh, I love that. And thank you for sharing that because, again, so many great tips, especially the take people on a journey. I know with my book, I feel like part of its success was because as soon as I got that contract, I was on Instagram being like, oh my God, I got a book deal. And even just being like, oh my gosh, here I am at Heidi Grant. I'm going to look at the covers today. And like it was the whole way. So then when the book came out, it wasn't like, oh, I just brought out this other thing for you guys to buy. It was like, oh yeah, we've been waiting for this kind of thing. So yeah, I agree with you that, you know, you want to take people along so they can celebrate in your wins when you get there as well.
Yeah, which is great, isn't it?
Yeah. And so you talked about this firm that you worked with in the market research. Have you had any other kind of mentors or coaches, or do you have any kind of mantras or books that have really helped you with any of the businesses that you run?
Are you, Fiona? And I'm not just saying that because we're speaking on this podcast, but I find a real trap is I get overwhelmed with podcasts, and I can listen to everyone, like every American business coach, everyone who's ever done anything. And so yours I find to be really succinct. I like a good, the business tips particularly I really love. So that's what I've done. I've also been on quite a few, I moderate quite a large women in business Facebook page with over 100,000 members. So I get a lot of value from that. And through that, I've identified a few other women in business who are at similar business stages as me. So I've got some sounding boards there. And there is a group called the Women's Business School, Peace Mitchell and Katie Gardner. And I've learned a lot from the work they do specifically around mums in business. So, but my mantra is always come back to value. So my mantra is service and love. And how can I every single day work to contribute that?
Oh, I love that. So simple, but so powerful as well.
It is. It is so simple. And again, my greatest piece of advice is be super clear on your values, because, and then that's my greatest piece of advice in my crisis work as well, is you have to be clear on your values so that every statement is aligned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and so you mentioned before Toggle. Were you talking about the actual time tracking software?
Yes, time tracking. So time tracking, Trello, and I do Instagram scheduling, but not, you know, I do try and batch, but, you know, I'm maybe batch 3 a week at the most. And I love Flowdesk for my emails because just of how they look and how easy they are to use. And that's the other thing is that starting the business, and something that I've, another mantra, not just service and love, is perfection is the enemy of the good. And so I think about that a lot. So, you know, I muddle along. I'm not a master at any one tool, but I muddle along as best as I can to make it as easy as I can. And when I've got the tools to make it even easier and to get better at something, I will. But in the meantime, I just get it done.
Oh, get it done. That is, yep. I often say that to myself, like out loud. I'm like, come on, Kalaki, just get it done.
Get it done.
Because you can get so distracted and so, yeah, sidetracked easily. So there's some great tech tools, and we'll put them into the show notes as well. What is Flowdesk? Can you describe that to people? Because I think email, inbox management and stuff like that is people just, you know, are desperate for work.
Of course. I'm sure I don't use Flowdesk to its full capacity, but Flowdesk is a platform a little bit like SurveyMonkey that connects with my back end at Shopify, and so for my subscribers, and that's where I compose my messages. It's a very visual newsletter, and it's a very easy visual newsletter. There's some great templates. And I feel, again, this is probably something that I haven't mentioned, but when I set up the Sweet Set, and in everything I do with the Sweet Set, I try to support our female owner-operators or sole traders who are female. And we have got some product on the site. We changed our product round. We had some candles, and we had some moisturiser from the States or from the UK, and I was so excited because they were on Gwyneth Paltrow's site, and I was the only Australian stockist, and took so much negotiation to get them here. And then when I got them to Australia, they just did not sell. People didn't like the price points, and people didn't get the exclusivity of it. But the key factor for me is they were female-funded, female-founded businesses focusing on mums. So I really wanted to support them. But in the end, it wasn't the best business decision, so we got rid of those. But the stock I do have on site is all female, apart from Pure Baby, which is actually obviously a bigger enterprise, but female-founded, female-funded businesses. So that's why I use Flowdesk too, because they are there owned by some women, started and owned by some women.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. And so I guess, is there anything that you'd do differently if you were starting the Sweet Set now? I know you're not that far, like how many years into it, but is there anything that you would have done differently?
No, because I do believe we can learn the lessons from the past, but I did what I did, and that's how our business is going. As I said, I'm sure if our home arrangement was different, we could spend more time on the business. You know, we all learn business lessons. One thing I'm really pleased with, and particularly at the moment, is that we trademarked very early on. It is actually very hard to trademark hospital bag organisers, but we have got a trademark. So I'm pleased that I did that. And there's not much I would do differently starting out because a lot of it has been learnt on the job. And as I said, it's been done in that glorious nap time then when you've got two children sleeping.
Oh, yeah, and I hear you on the naps where you're like, oh, my God, do I rush around and do the vacuuming and clean everything or do I
sit
down and watch something or do I get this done or that? Yes, get it done. And then on the flip side, I guess, what are you most proud of from the journey with the sweet set?
I am most proud of the fact that we have just sold our 700th set, which means that there are 700-plus babies we have been part of their welcome Earthside with.
Aww.
That's really important to us, and that hopefully out of those 700, the majority have felt that it was an easy process.
And so what's next for you, and where is the best place for people to connect with you, whether it's the sweet set or if people are listening and they're like, oh, my gosh, we need her help with crisis PR, where is the best place to connect with you?
Of course. So what's next for us is the launch of our sweet set podcast, which is in the next month, and thank you for all your help with that, Fiona. That is going to be called What I Know Now, and it is really short, 7 to 10 minutes, explanations around just the things that you need to know going into being pregnant and having a baby, like what's the difference between public or private hospital, what support do you get if you choose to home birth, what's the vitamin K injection, what does a doula do, all of those little questions that perhaps you haven't got the answers for and you just want to learn quickly, but learn with really good, robust information. And all of our information is fact-checked by health professionals. I have a doctor, I have a lawyer, and I must say they're all mums who've started businesses, and they're all mums who, with kids my age, who are providing really good services to their community. So that's who I've chosen to use as our professionals. So the podcast is really exciting, but people can connect with me either at The Sweet Set or www.thesweetset or sallybradsonconsulting.com.au.
Thank you so much for that. We'll link to those in the show notes. But, yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today and also on the numerous DMs that we have. And I think it's a good example of we met each other through Instagram, I think, and that's kind of been a great platform for us to build a friendship. So thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and for all your support, Sally. I so appreciate it.
Oh, Fiona, and I can only say that right back at you. You are such a champion for small business and for enterprises like mine. You provide such a great service, and I know your values are similar to mine. You serve and you love your people.
Oh, thank you. I'm like blushing over here. Thank you. I really appreciate that. All right, take care. Bye. Ah, how lovely is she? I know that, sure, so many people are like me and just think, oh my goodness, I just want her in my life. She's just really inspiring, insightful, very intelligent, really compassionate, funny. Yeah, just an all-round awesome woman. And I'm so, so glad that we connected. Two things that really stood out for me from that episode. I mean, there was so much great content and so many great ideas from Sally, but two things that really stood out to me were firstly her idea of being so solutions focused, of not going on and on about the problem. And I think that's, you know, why she does so well in her consulting business. You know, brands and companies know that they can come to her and she will find the solution and she will find it quickly. I think too often in business, we can sit there and dwell on what's not working, on the staff member who's not doing this, rather than look at all the stuff that we do have that's working well, but also not just sit and complain about the problem, but look at what is a possible solution. What are five possible solutions that we could do? You know, often the answer is right in front of us. Even sometimes it's things that won't actually take that much time. And we actually spend more time worrying and complaining about the thing than just getting on and finding a solution. I absolutely love that aspect of Sally. And yeah, I think we could all learn from that. The second thing that really stood out to me was when Sally was talking about just being realistic with what you can get done, but also valuing what you get done, even if it's not everything that you thought you were going to get done, but knowing that everything has value. And I love that she talks about that, in particularly in relation to parents of young children. I remember when, and I've made no, I haven't, you know, hidden away from it. I saw a psychologist after my mother died. I found it incredibly hard. And I saw a psychologist on and off for about 3 years to deal with that kind of grief and adjustment and other things that I was going through. And I remember after I had my son, my second son, I had a session with her. I probably was seeing her, I don't know, 4 times a year maybe, so not that often. But I had a session with her and I remember saying, I'm behind on this and that. And she said to me, you have a 4-week-old child. And I was like, I know. And she's like, you can't do it all. And the things that I'm behind on, it wasn't necessarily related to work. It was just my perception that, you know, the house should have been cleaner. I should have been breastfeeding easier. There were so many kind of pressures I'd put on myself. And I love that Sally talks about you're not going to necessarily be able to do everything. And the point that I was going to make about the psychologist is I remember her saying to me, you can do it all, but you can't do it all at once. And she referenced Oprah's famous quote where she said those words. And I always think back to that and think, yeah, not everything is going to come all at the right time always. You know, quite often most people don't have everything at the same time. And I think sometimes we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves, particularly if you're running a small business and you have children of any age, but young children can be very, very dependent, as they should be. That's what they're learning, they're growing. And we can often think, oh, why can't I get X, Y, and Z done? And we can compare ourselves to people that perhaps are not in the same boat. Or if they're in the same boat, maybe they've got more support or they've got other things around them that you don't have. So I love that she talked about the way that she looks at kind of planning her day. She looks at how things will feel, but she also looks at what can I realistically achieve? And I'm going to value everything that I've achieved and not think, well, I didn't get X, Y, Z done, so therefore these things aren't as important and aren't as valuable. I love, love, love that idea. And yeah, like I said, there's so many other things that really resonated with me and I'm sure they did with you. So I'd love to know from you what really stood out. Please feel free to share this episode. You can tag at The Sweet Set and tag My Daily Business Coach so we see it as well. And I'm sure Sally would love to hear from you. So like I said at the beginning, you can find a whole lot of great information over on The Sweet Set's Instagram page, which is just at The Sweet Set, S-U-I-T-E. There's lots of highlights there about tips and tricks and all sorts of things. And then, of course, you can find a lot of their great products for parents, parents-to-be, community around parents and children over at thesweetset.com. And check out their journal, their blog, because there's so many great ideas there as well. And if you wanted to connect with Sally Branson for perhaps her consulting services or hear more about the FOMO Alerts app, you can do that by checking out sallybransonconsulting.com and it's SallyBransonson. And they specialize in crisis, special situation and reputation management. So such an interesting person, a wonderful, wonderful, curious, lovely small business owner. And I just, I just have the best job when I'm getting to interview these people. So thank you again, Sally, for coming on. If you are interested in the transcript for this or you want to go back through maybe something that Sally mentioned, you can find that over at mydailybusinesscoach.com/podcast/134. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye. Thanks for listening to the My Daily Business Coach podcast. If you want to get in touch, you can do that at mydailybusinesscoach.com or hit me up on Instagram at mydailybusinesscoach.